This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Today I'll be speaking on the topic 13 spiritual curses. It is important that I do a short background of this and why it is important to teach it. So I noticed that there are people whose destinies are orphaned destinies. They do not have watchers who watch over their destinies. And as a result of that, anything can happen to them at any time. If they apply for a job, nobody speaks for them. They may be going on the road. You suddenly hear that they are in a police station, somebody arrested them. If there is a motor accident, out of 10 people, they will be the one to get injured. Their life is a series of misfortune and ghost stories. When I was in university, there was this guy. I don't want to mention his name because his brother is definitely on this call. It was always from one problem to the other. It was as if he was deeded with a seed of misfortune. When he's writing an exam, it is either they will say he's looking at somebody, or somebody will say he's looking at him every time there is a problem. And yet the other brother was doing so well. Ha! It was a stark contrast in fortune for the two of them. And I was just a year ahead of them in the university. And the three of us were in the Sunday school department together. When I look at the one brother, I see how his life was. He always looked distressed, troubled, sickly, intimidated, emancipated, always looked weak. He has no, it's like a shadow. Another brother, he has no, it's like a shadow. Another brother, a brilliant, full of life, friendly, he would even teach tutorials because I went to a Baptist school. So if the student fellowship does not approve your program, it will not get to the chaplaincy. So the chaplaincy determines overall what we do, but with the input of the BSF. So he wanted to stage a show on campus. He had thought of it, he had written it out, articulated it, done all the work, but he needed somebody who had some clout, who would help him present the case to the Reverend Ayuba, our head chaplain at the time. And so he came to me. He needed funding. He needed to bring some people from Lagos for the fashion show he wanted to do. He needed sponsors. He wanted to bring in some of the big companies in Nigeria to Bowen University at the time. The plan was so well thought out. So well thought out. And not only would it be good for the school, it would be good for the students. I was eager. I said, oh, okay, I will help you with this. I'll help you with this. Of course, there are so many proposals coming in from everywhere. But I championed this guy's proposal. I championed it. I took it, put it on Reverend's table, spoke to the Reverend about it. I deliberately studied it. I put my own personal notes on it, saying that this, I would supervise it myself and make sure everything that ought to be done is done and that this project will fly. Gavin loved it. Ah, he loved it so much. He said, "Oh, see me in my office. Ah, this is what I'm talking about. This is kind of reasoning I want to see. You guys are doing well. Oh, ah, well done." And then I said, "Oh, it wasn't my idea. It was Brother Soso and So's idea. And can I bring him so that you can meet the owner of the idea? I only came to champion the idea. It wasn't my The idea was not of my is of my making. It wasn't my brainchild." And Reverend said, "Okay, you guys see me tomorrow by 12." So I excitedly I went to the host and I told him, "Reverend, I ever said you should see me by 12 tomorrow. So make sure you dress well. Make sure you dress well. Make sure you are well. And make sure you rehearse this thing. Make sure you rehearse this thing. Make sure when you get there, don't stutter, don't stammer. Give it to him. He liked the idea. It's innovative. The school and the chaplaincy is ready to back you up. They will give you the letter you will take to these organizations. And when the organization see our letter, they would immediately respond that because our school has a bit of leverage globally." So the next day came, and I then had to do something. I cannot remember what I went to do. I wasn't on campus. But I told him, I said, "Okay, be there for 12. I just went to, I think, an official whatever. I go back to campus around 3. And I've been calling him. He wasn't picking, wasn't picking, wasn't picking. Eventually, when I got to Joseph, I went to his room. I saw him on the bunk, shaking, with a duvet all over his blanket, all over his head. Oh, I said, what happened?" He said, "Ah, I have this sudden bout of sickness." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I couldn't go. I couldn't go. I was just sick. This sudden, I don't know. Oh, shakatapara. He was speaking in tongues. Shake. Oh, ko. Ah." I said, "My God. You couldn't go for the meeting." He said, "He couldn't. He didn't. Why? If I was sick." I couldn't believe it. I said, "Okay, it's not your fault. Let's go to the hospital. Let the doctor give us the doctor's report. I can at least take that back to the Reverend and tell him, oh, this boy fell ill. And you know, I went out for this assignment. We can see you at another time." Ah, he said, "No. God will heal me. Shakatapa. Look, go to, I don't do hospital. I don't do hospital. Ha. I believe in the power of God for healing. I don't do hospital." I said, "Even if God will heal you, I need the doctor's report. This we are doing here is all doctor's report. I cannot take your picture and go and show it to him that you are sick. I need to show it because he gave us an appointment. And we needed to prove that we would have come, but for these unforeseen circumstances." He said, "No, it will disturb my faith. It will disturb my faith." Oh, from that moment, I lost interest. I just forgot about it and moved on with other projects that we had to do at the time. Unfortunately, maybe about 3 or 4 months later, that brother died. He died of typhoid because he wouldn't go to the hospital. He was sick. And the thing killed him. When I heard he died, by that time I had graduated. In fact, as soon as I graduated, I think a few weeks later he died. When I was told he died, I went to the Lord. I said, "Ah, Lord, this guy is born again. Like he is born again. Like, did you hear me say he doesn't do hospital?" Ladies and gentlemen, as at that time, I do hospital very well. Although I don't fall sick. But when I'm not feeling fine, I get in my car, I drive to the hospital. Or I go to the hospital by myself. I don't have any problem with hospital. I never did. So if somebody is saying he has faith that he does not do hospital, you have to understand that that person must have bigger faith than me. So, of course, I was sure he was born again. He was very born again. How did he die so young without fulfilling any of his goals? He died, was still an undergraduate, and he died of the most silly excuse ever. An adult who died of a sickness that has a cure in the clinic, in the campus clinic. What do you have to say for yourself if you die like that? So it bothered me a lot. So I went to the Lord to pray. I said, Lord, explain to me. I want to know. I want to learn. What did he do wrong? Was it his destiny? Was it you? Was it the devil? What happened to this brother? You know, and I had graduated, but I was looking for a job at the time. I had time on my hand. So I stayed with the Lord in place of prayer, stayed with him for maybe about 2 days. I was mourning this guy, and at the same time, I was asking a lot of questions. On the third day, the Lord said to me, go to the book of Genesis. So I went to the book of Genesis. I began to read from the story of Joseph. You know, so I knew the verses, but I just went straight to the story of Joseph. I was reading the story of Joseph up until when he got to Egypt, up until when he became somebody of substance, up until when he brought Jacob back from Canaan to Egypt, up until when Jacob wanted to die. And then Jacob said to his children, he said, all of you come, let me tell you your future. Ah! So really it made sense to me. So really I got it. I know some of you may not have gotten it. But suddenly I got it. I said, oh my God, this is why. This is no wonder. No wonder. This is why. This is why. Ah, I understand now. I understand now. I understand now. I understand now. I understand how. And from that day, I began a practice. I would stare my future with words. Supernatural destiny in Christ that every believer has will not write itself. You cannot just wake up in the morning, go about your day, expecting good things to happen to you. I remember when somebody gave me a car some years back, several years back. I was still a PA at the time. I got the car maybe on a Tuesday. I took it to the office on a Wednesday. When I got to the office on a Wednesday, the other pastors in the office, a lot of them were around for a meeting. And with my joy, I went upstairs and I announced to them that, oh, come and help me bless this new car that I just got, that somebody just gave me a car. No, that I just got a car and I like them to pray. So, of course, these pastors are older than me. Some of them, men, all of them are older than me. And then some of my colleagues, people came downstairs. They came to look at the Highlander at the time. This would be 2015. And when they came to check it, they were like, oh, how much did you buy it? And then I told them, oh, somebody just gave it to me yesterday. And one of them said, your father must have done some good things for somebody to remind you, to remember you and give you a car like this. It must be the good work of your parents. And I laughed. And he said, oh, why are you laughing? I said, I set the course of my own destiny. Parental good works does not speak unless somebody makes it speak. If my father gave you something, and you think because of that, somebody somewhere will not be kind to you, that thinking is folklore and old mindset thinking. It doesn't work, always work for everybody. What I know that works is that when a believer hears from the Lord what his future is, and the believer speaks what the future is, it can never change. Therefore, we set the course that we must follow deliberately. You will set it, you will set the next 20 years, the next 30 years, the next 15 years, the next 5 years of your life. You will set it by the course of your own words. Every man must build his future, and you must build it with the words of your mouth. So Jacob called his children, and Jacob said, "This is what your future will be like." Now, the children have mouths. They have their own mouths. And they have the right over their own destiny to speak. But did you notice that none of them protested? When the father told the first one that, "Oh, you slept with my concubine, therefore I'm taking the authority away from you." He was there. He was standing. His father was on the sick bed. He didn't protest. The second one, he said, "You are Levi. You have temper, unstable as water. You shall not prosper." They didn't protest. That was their destiny right there. And then their father took the scepter and gave it to Judah. Gave it to son number four. Did you notice that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah? That word of Jacob prospered till now over Judah. It was that word of Jacob that made David king. It was that word that established David and his children into the fourth generation. It was that word that still put the star of David on the map of Israel till tomorrow. It's the determination of somebody, of a father, over his own children. So from the day the Holy Spirit taught me that thing, I'm very deliberate about crafting the future of everything I'm involved in. For example, JSOPMI as a ministry, I will speak into JSOPMI as a ministry, I will speak into it, I will deliberately set this course. This is the course you will follow in your life. This is the course you will follow. These are the kind of people you will attract. These are the nations you will spread to. I deliberately do that by the word of my mouth. I've been doing that since 2019, when the ministry was just on paper, when it was a document, just a document. I started speaking to it. The same way I will speak over New Man City, and all of us will speak over New Man City. "Oh, this is your daughter. Your course is enlarged. Your course is enlarged. This and that." And we see it happening. We see it happening. By our words, we begin to shape things. I've taught before, maybe in some previous classes, that the currency of the Spirit is words. We do not spend money in the realm of the Spirit. We spend words. However, in the case of this young man that I spoke about, I noticed that his destiny was orphaned. I said orphaned, which means it had no parents. A destiny that has no parents is a destiny that has no voice, no guardian, no watcher, nobody to stand for it. It is consistent. One of the symptoms of it is consistent misfortune. Consistent misfortune. Who experienced it in the Bible? First example was Jacob. Jacob was safe with his father and mother for about 30-something years. Lived in a cocoon, would eat his mother's food, learned how to cook, learned how to take care of animals, but did not take any unnecessary risk. The only person he was challenging consistently was his brother Esau. Esau was out there doing whatever he liked, independent from when he was young. He didn't need anybody to watch over him. Esau was a typical alpha male. He can defend his own destiny, defend his own future, and fight for his own rights. So therefore, Esau was capable to fight and defend his own territory, his own destiny. But Jacob couldn't, because of the two brothers, Jacob was the weak one. So then Jacob left home and went to Laban's house, and suddenly he was an orphan. There was nobody to talk for him, nobody to fight for him, nobody to defend him. And for that reason, the Bible said for 22 years, Laban continuously cheated him, continuously buffeted him, continuously took advantage of him, so that Jacob became a victim in life. A victim. The mindset of a victim, the absolute mindset of a fearful person. Did you know how he left Laban's house? Laban said he left in the middle of the night. He had to switch off. They had to pack their load in secret. They didn't want to alert the neighbors. All the animals, they had to prepare them during the day, so that as soon as it was nighttime, they now began to, all the sheep, they now began to herd them in darkness to escape. They couldn't move during the day. Everything about him was discomforted because he was afraid of one man, his tormentor in chief. Why? Because he had no defender. The blessing he received from his father, he didn't activate it with the word of his own mouth. His mentality did not go in line with the instruction that the Lord has given him, that he had received from his father. So he suffered endlessly. You will then notice that the moment he met with God in Genesis 35 and words were spoken over him, not over Jacob, over Israel, when his name was changed and words were spoken over him, you will notice that Jacob then began a change. He became a bit more stable. He became less fearful. But unfortunately, he did not set the course of his children. He did not know how to be a parent. His children were wild. And many of us here would think the best way to take care of wild children is to beat them. They have to say that, oh, children have madness in them. The rod of correction is how you set their... No, 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 no. It wasn't the rod of correction that God used to set the course of Jesus. It wasn't rod that God used to set the course of Jesus. It wasn't rod that God Jesus used to set the course of the church. It was words. Jesus determined the future of the church by the word of his mouth. He said, this is the direction we are going. John chapter 17. He said, this is your direction. I'm giving you the glory that the Father gave unto me. He said, if anybody believe, they will experience the reality of my life. And even those who are not here, if they believe later, they will also be partakers of this glory. Jesus used his words to set the course of the church. That is why the church is an eternal entity. There is nothing anybody can do about it. It has existed long before the dark ages. It is still existing now. It will outlive all forms of technology, all forms of civilization. It is not a dying entity, it's a living entity. Why? Because Jesus spoke eternal words over the church. Jacob spoke words over his children, and the children, just like him, they kept quiet and they couldn't revoke it. Ladies and gentlemen, again, Moses spoke words over Israel. Oh, this is what will happen to you if you obey. This is what will happen to you if you disobey. All of them said amen. Deuteronomy 28. He said, all of you come. All of you come. Let me tell you your future. This book of the law, if you obey it, This is what will happen to you. It will be good for you. It will be pleasant. But if you don't obey you, cause that you hear, cause that you hear, cause that you hear, cause that you hear. Do you know? None of them said, no, we refuse the curse. We are children of the blessing. We take blessings only. Do not pronounce curses over us. Pronounce only blessings. A lot of us here, we think that curses and blessings are optional. That as long as it be anything bad, if they curse you, it will not happen to you. When little babies are thinking, no, when baby Christians are talking, I used to watch them. They believe that if they behaved well, that curses will have no effect on them. That it is only those who behave badly that curses have effect on. That's not true. Everyone that proceeds out of a place of authority are effectual. Let me show you something. What I want to say now, I shouldn't say it because this I cannot pull past. But it came to mind just now, so I generally when something comes to my mind, it means I should say it. When we do prophetic services, I pay attention to prophecies a lot. I pay attention to prophecies a lot. So a lot of people come to prophetic service, they listen to it, and that's the end of it. Once prophetic service is over, they will shout, glory! And that's the end of it. Then they expect their miracles. So when the miracles happen, they share. But I have very keen ears and a keen understanding of spiritual things. I'm talking about myself. I have this sense that I cannot explain about spiritual things. I just know things. So, for example, if somebody gives a prophecy and the person says, the Lord spoke to me and he said, there is somebody here. Don't take the proceeds of a particular contract, like the promises that came this morning. You are a partaker of a particular deal, but this deal is going to go sour. Therefore, do not partake of the proceeds of this deal so that when they are tracing this deal, they will not trace it to you and you'll be vindicated. That is a complete prophecy. But you see, because I understand the prophetic very much, I will look at that prophecy and then I can, how do I put the word? I want to use a word, don't be offended. I can manipulate it. I think that is the best way. I don't want to use engineer because you guys won't get it. I can manipulate that prophecy. I can look at that prophecy and say, okay, this is the line of this prophecy. There's a deal that has been done. Bad deal has been done. Bad money has been made, right? And the money is going to go to somebody who's going to get into trouble, right? That is the prophecy. I can look at the prophecy and rearrange it. I can say, okay, this bad deal, the money that's supposed to be made out of this bad deal is not coming out of this bad deal. This deal is going to crash. That would be me. That's not the prophecy, but that's me. That's me saying, let me rearrange this prophecy. So I can rearrange the prophecy and say, this deal is going to crash. Nothing will come out of it. So that everybody can learn their lesson about this evil thing. But where would the money now go? I cannot determine that. Okay, so then EFCC or somebody will get the money and the company will get their money back. I can do that. And I can have a sense for it that I can easily know when the nuances of a prophecy can be abridged or when a prophecy is set in stone and nobody can touch it. So I can easily understand there are some prophecies that there's nothing you can do about it. Once it is given 100%, once the child is born, 100%, there's nothing anybody can do about it. The child will be born. That is the determination of God. But somebody has been, it has been written about somebody that will betray Christ. Oh, something can be done about it. Judas does not have to be the person. It is not a predetermination of heaven. It is because it was an orphaned destiny. Judas was an orphaned destiny. He had nobody that was interceding. Remember what Jesus Christ said about Peter? He said, "I've prayed for you." You see? You see? He didn't allow him to be orphaned. Didn't allow him to be. He said, "I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you helpless. I will not leave you without guardian, without a watch." So he watched over Peter, but he didn't watch over Judas. And it was deliberate. He wanted to show us what happens when you do not watch over certain destinies. Okay. You understand the class so far? Can I see your hand? If it is not too complicated, can I see your hand? Okay, thank you. Which then means that you have a duty as a believer who is full of the Holy Spirit to set the course for things. Let me give you an example. Somebody you know, but I won't mention his name. One of the foremost prophets in the Bible had eight children. The children, out of the eight children, there are three sets of twins. One of his daughters began to deal in drugs. I mean cocaine, not using, selling. And she came into money. And she became popular, very popular around British estates. Everybody, and they would mention her and the father's name. I wonder had the chance to meet this girl. I met her. So where you are. And I saw people are talking about her. They are mentioning her name. Ah, she didn't come to the car. So I went to meet her. Said, "Hi, you are so and so's daughter." She said, "Yes." I said, "Wow." Ah, the car she was driving at the time was a coupe Benz, very nice Benz, those open roof Benz. And I said, "The things I've heard about you are very notorious. But here you are, enjoy." Oh, she said, believe everything you've heard and more, believe it. I said, what do you mean? She said, I'm determined that nobody will put me in a box, that I'm going to live my life free. You know, people don't understand that. Because my father is this, does not mean I should live my life as if, you know, she was waxing all English, all lyrical, all defensive. But she was trying to justify herself to me, and I was a complete stranger. But I understood at the time. I wasn't born again at the time, but I understood our instinct because I was also like that. Even though my father was not the popular preacher, but we grew up in a Christian home that is so strict that at the first taste of freedom, you just want to abandon the principles that your parents or the safeguard that your parents set for you. You just want to go in the other direction. So I understood her, like I understood her real well. So we became very good friends. 2 or 3 years later, we were close for a while, and then I had to leave UI. I went to Boy University. So we kept in touch once in a while. So one day, she saw my post on Twitter. This would be around 2011. She reached out to me and she said, "Do you know what?" I said, "What?" She said, "I'm now born again. I saw your post that you're also born again. How did you become born again?" She asked me. So I told her about the encounter I had with the Lord in 2007. And she said, "Wow." She said, "Wow." She said, "You know, the Lord arrested me at the airport in Turkey. I was on a business deal. And I got to the airport and I just felt that the veil, everything, all the hardness of my heart just melted. The confidence I used to have, not only in myself, I'm a confident woman, but also in the charms that they do for me, so that when I want to travel with my consignment, nobody would check me. That I was on my way to the airport and I just lost confidence in myself, in the charms. I was shaking, I was jittery. Every policeman I saw, my heart was beating fast. That normally I feel no fear. Normally I feel nothing. Said normally I feel I'm always confident. I will walk through anything. But on this day, my legs were shaking. That ordinary traffic cop that I saw, my legs were wobbling, my hands were shaking. I couldn't stand. I told them to take me back to the hotel. I couldn't go to the airport again. I got to the hotel. I flushed all the drugs. I flushed them in the toilet. I stayed there. I was shaking. I didn't know what came over me. I began to shout, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me." Said, nobody preached to me. Then I remember my father's words. Said, my father told me, when I left home, my father said, if the enemy has determined to use you to stain my name, and you are walking in line with the dictate of the enemy. If it took God 400 years to restore Israel back into the words of his promise to Abraham, in this lifetime before I die, God would bring you back to my predetermined words. When I gave birth to you, I spoke over your destiny. I said, this is the direction you will go. You will not, I am a prophet of God. You will not go beyond that direction. I set you on a course, you will stay on that course. Said to her father, leave me alone. And she left. She said, those words kept echoing in her ears in a hotel in Turkey. They were echoing in her ears. That the next person she called was her mother. She had not spoken to her mother as at that time for over 8 years. Said, mommy, yatai, yakendi. Mommy, yakendi, mommy. Please, I'm in Turkey. Please, who can help me? I want to come home. She said the mother jumped on the next flight, came to meet her in Turkey, and brought her back to Nigeria. She said, do I know that those with whom she does business had people that normally would kill her for not delivering, that none of them, that it was as if that chapter of her life was just erased. That nobody, till she was writing to me, nobody called her phone. Nobody said, where's her consignment? Nobody said, what about money? That nobody said anything. It was as if she was erased from that world. And she came back to Nigeria. Her mother took her to her father. And the father embraced her, hugged her, laid hands on her, and said, you're welcome home. Now, welcome. The Lord told me that you will not miss your course. Said, Babinga, as at that time, she was calling Pastor Sam. Ah, you see now, I'm going to get married though. I'm going to marry the pastor. I'm not going to be pastor missy. So she was talking about it so excitedly. And I realized in truth that her destiny was not an orphaned destiny. A destiny that had the word of God watching over it. He said, I will watch over my word to perform it. I will do what? I will watch over my word to perform it. He didn't say I will watch over my deeds. He didn't say I will watch over my good work. He said my words, the word that I've spoken. I can give you several examples from scripture. I can give you several examples from life. How the words that we speak are more important than any other currency that anybody can spend in life. Money is momentary exchange too. Words are eternal, especially when the words are aligned with the word of God. The book of Hebrews, I believe chapter 3, he said God is the one that established the world by the word of his power. By the word of his power. Jesus was the one that watched over his own destiny by the words of power. Jesus said, hey, it is written of me that I would be the savior of the world, that I will be crucified, and that I will rise from the dead. Jesus was saying it. Somebody like Peter said, "Some say it again. Don't say that again. Some say you will die. You will not die, but live to fulfill the glory of God." Jesus Christ said, "Get away from me, Satan." The guy was quoting scripture on Jesus. Jesus said, "Get back. Get away. You do not know what I'm talking about. You are thinking like a man. Your thoughts are thoughts of a man. But I'm talking about God's predetermination. This is my life. This is my destiny." When I spoke about rearranging prophecies, especially prophecies that are alternate realities that you can change, when I spoke about that, I'm addressing two things. The Lord said in this class tonight, so some of the people I'm addressing everybody, but there are some people that their particular case is being addressed here. You have a child who is a drug addict. You are this call, a mother or a father, a parent, who has a child who has gone into drug addiction, and you are crying over the child every day. See, what I taught today is for you. If you have ears, open your ears and listen to me clearly. You are expecting an external person, somebody with external anointing, to come and help you put your child in order. A child with an orphaned destiny, a child over whom no words of life is spoken that could watch over his destiny. What did I tell you happens to those who have orphaned destinies? I said they often will go into misfortune, misbehavior, serial troubles because there is no watcher. They are like a sheep without a captain on the high sea that is moving to the whims of the river or the caprices of the sea. If the sea is cool, the sheep will look as if it's fine. If the sea begins to rave and to have a storm, the ship will just be turning here and there. Nobody to steady it. Nobody to say, stand. Nobody to say, hard right. Nobody to say, open the sails. Nobody to determine how the ship will go. Why? Because there's no captain, there's no crew. There are so many destinies like that. Without captain, without crew. They are in this world, people in this world. But things just happen to them. You hear, hey, he said the police were doing raiding. They catch him. And then they mistakenly shot him. He's dead. You'll be wondering that of all the people that the police caught that day, why was it this one that was shot? Why was it? Why was it this person that this unfortunate thing happened to? Why was it this person? And some people will say it's evil people. You know, it is so easy for people to attack and insult and do bad things to properties that has no owner. Sometimes the mere mention of somebody's name, the evil somebody else wants to do, the person will stop it. Say, hey, you are the son of Obasanjo. Hey, be going. Be going. Why? Because they know that that destiny has somebody who will come and ask questions. So they will say, eh? No, even when there is a law, even when there is a law, I remember they caught somebody years back when I was in secondary school during the Oro Festival. Those days they used to do Oro Festival and they'll say ladies should not come out. So this girl came out and then they caught her and then they wanted to start beating her. And then she said, I'm the Alaafin's daughter. In loyal town, all the people with charms, everybody, their hand rested. It was like he was supposed to cast the first stone. Everybody just moved away because you know that if you touch her, the entirety of your family and generations to come, it's likely that you will not wake up tomorrow. The kind of things they will do, they just left her. She went to where she was going, and then the father sent the car to come and pick her up there. And she did it. She was living in that and she knew they were having that thing. And she came out. Why? Because she had the destiny that to do whatsoever. Nobody could touch her. And I said that to myself at the time. Even those of us that were boys at the time, we were hiding. Even though the same men can come out, it is some of us didn't have the grunting, as they call it, the liver, to go outside. And that was the lady that came out simply because she had somebody watching over her destiny. And they had to change the law for her. They had to pretend as if they didn't, they had to leave it. There was another boy, I can mention that, but I won't. He was also in my school, a laughing son, who stole a whole, is it idol now? Artwork, they will call it artwork now. They will call it bronze craft or one of those native crafts. And he stole it from the palace. You know, they called it a local god that the father worships. And sold it, stole it, and sold it to a white man from Amsterdam for $10 million at the time. $10 million! He stole, and everybody said, ah, whoever touched that thing will go mad. Whoever touched it will go mad. This boy did not go mad. The father called people. They brought that thing back from Amsterdam. The father paid them and returned that thing back to the palace. Everybody knew that if it was another person's son, the father would cut their head, cut their leg, they would be in prison. But it wasn't a orphan destiny. Don't let your destiny be an orphan destiny. Jesus Christ said to the disciples, he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you as people whose destiny has no one and no one watching over it. When God gives you something to do, speak over it. Speak over your children. Speak over your children. It is not too late to set their course aright. Levi was already cursed before Moses decided that Levi will no longer be cursed. The Bible said Aaron was the one that did the golden calf. The people of Israel danced to it. Moses came down from the mountain. He saw them dancing. He broke the law. He came down from the mountain and he looked at them in the eyes and he said, ah, today I'm going to deal with you people who did this golden calf. And everybody pointed at Aaron, he did it for us. And Aaron said to his brother, the people asked for it. I didn't do it by myself. They asked for it and I gave them what they wanted. Then Moses said, who are those who are with me to defend our God? The Bible said only members of his own tribe, the tribe of Levi, stayed with him. They stood by him, which was how Aaron also escaped judgment. So Aaron stood by him, all the other people stood by him, and all the other tribes did not. So then they smelted the golden calf and they force fed it to those who participated in his worship. And the Bible said many of them died. But from that day, Moses then pronounced them elevated from the curse for standing by the Lord's curse. And from that day till now, the tribe of Levi remained the tribe that we know as the priests, the custodians of God's worship until Jesus came. And even till tomorrow, when we refer to the spiritual Levites, the high priest, it is just Jesus we refer to as that. Because somebody elevated them out of orphaned destinies. There's another person here. There is a curse that has been spoken over you. You are not born again on this call. But you are a Christian, but you are not born again. You are on this call. You notice that, oh, since these words were spoken about me, my life has been going in a certain direction. That means the words that are watching over your destiny are negative. So you are even worse than the orphan. You see, the orphan has nobody to watch over his destiny. The orphan has no one to watch over his destiny. But there are some people, it is demons that are watching over their destiny. Why? Because somebody pronounced the word and the person said, as this one is going, so and so and so and so will be happening to him. And that word became life. And that one began to follow. So when you say, I have any talent spirit, it is no, no, no. It is most of the time, it is just words. They are weaponized words, extra mundane words that are spoken, that are invoked by the backing of some demons to watch over certain destinies and crush them and ruin them. A lady wrote to me on Facebook today, said, Ranga, what you wrote yesterday is not true. There are people that it is the enemy that is disturbing their destiny. Look at me. Look at me. This is my second engagement and it crashed. My second engagement. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. And now it is. You cannot tell me it is my behavior. You cannot don't say this again. If you see what she wrote. And I know she was hurting. I know that she would look at herself and she would say, I didn't do nothing wrong. But why am I persistently? Why am I constantly in this situation? And then I sent her my phone number. I said, reach out. Let me help you. Let me take you away from being a victim. Let me show you what it means to have a destiny that is set on a certain course. I have a destiny that is set on a course it must follow. It cannot deviate to the right or to the left. My destiny was spoken out of the mouth of God, prepared by angels to watch over it, that I might fulfill the word that God has spoken about me. I do not have a destiny that anybody can just affect, impact, or afflict. People that wake up in the morning and say, ah, we are going to show JSW Pepe. All of them, the day they rise like this, before they finish saying it, all of them will just notice that the energy is gone. I'm telling you before God, I do not need to confront or fight anybody. My destiny is so empowered that the angels that are watching over it jealously are so strong that nobody can sit down and plot anything. From the place where they are plotting, I don't even pray. How they are plotting is where their silence comes. You just hear, shh, touch my anointed. Was that not what the Lord said to Laban? He said, hey, when you get to him, do not say a word to him. Keep quiet. I'm watching over. Hey! Laban said, okay. Okay. I dare not. I dare not. Hear me clearly. Don't allow your destiny to be a destiny that is orphaned. I have 2 minutes left. Every stage of your life, you must speak. Don't be speaking declaration of 2020, 2010 in 2025. Many of us do not know how to grow with prophecy. The declaration I was speaking when I was single was not the one I was speaking when I found myself in some stressful marital situation. It's not the same situation I was speaking when I found myself in a happy place. It's not the same declaration I will speak over my children. As before the children are born, I will have a declaration. After the children were given back to, I will have a declaration. My words will fit because I know that I should appropriate the right context to the words and prophecies I will speak over situations in my life. Some of us, that's why I said it is wrong for you to be reading declarations from a book. It is a product of a lazy mind. That somebody with the wrote the declaration for you that just reading it. The declaration must come from your soul. It has to be living words that have the power and the potency to protect and guard destinies. If somebody wakes up today and said, oh, I want to do an incantation against you, the words you have spoken by yourself will tell the person to shut up. Hey! Remember what happened in the book of Numbers 23. The Bible said, Laban, Balak went to call Balaam. And he said, come and curse Israel. Come and curse Israel. Now, there was somebody defending Israel. But there was a word watching over Israel. There was a living word that was watching over Israel. So they were doing this thing in Moab. Moses was not there. Nobody was there. And yet, they couldn't curse Israel. Every time they tried to curse Israel, the angel of the Lord would appear and say, hey, shut up. Hey, shut up. Hey, shut up. Hey, shut up. Every time. He couldn't. He said that these people, they are blessed. They cannot be cursed. Why? Because their destiny was not an orphaned destiny. Nobody can just do anything to them. They are a destiny that is protected by the word of God. Parents on this call, hear me well. The principle I've taught you today apply to your children. Business owners, apply to your businesses. You go to the business and say, ah, somebody did one charm, and so I'm not selling. It can never happen to me. I can never. I'm telling you. And then some things, when I heard that, I just shake my head. I say, why are you people there? You have to pray. No, you didn't speak ahead. That is why you are trying to pray to catch up. You are praying to stop a bad work. Instead of you to make it impossible for anybody to do anything against you, you say, Abadunga, they put one stone in the office. That's why business is not selling. It is because your destiny is orphaned. A destiny that is being watched over, nobody can touch it. Even when you are sleeping, the word of God is alive. It's alive and it is active. It is watching continuously for the performance of God's word and can never fail. That's what the Bible says. It can't come back void. So speak forth over your children. Speak forth over your businesses. Set the course they will follow. Predetermine the course of the life of your own children. Determine that these children, they will not go wayward. They will not go this, they will not go that. This is their path in life. I can say for sure, my mother said it about me. When I was young and I was having all this normal, I don't even know if it's normal now. My own was quite extreme. What they call youthful exuberance. That's what my mom used to call it those days. Youthful exuberance. I showed her a pen. She's on this call most likely, but I showed her a pen to the kind candidate. I was a very good boy, but I'm a good boy now. But that time, I made my mother cry a lot. And my mother would be saying, in the name of this is not my problem. This is not my portion. The word of God concerning you is that you are going to be a priest of God. You will be a prophet of God. You will be a man of God. When I give back to you, God gave me a word that you are going to be in ministry. My mother will be saying it, and I'll be telling her, I'm trying there, don't know anything. My mother's word came to pass. My destiny was not orphaned. It had the life of God in it that watched over it and made sure it was fulfilled. So hear the word of God and speak. God honors the word of the saints and the faithful. He will honor your word. It's time to give an offering. Glory to God. Hi, 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 hi. I'm pumped up. Oh, boy. This is the kind of good that I teach for 3 hours. Oh, my. Please listen to this instruction, please. Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are writing the course of destiny. Those who know that there are issues of destiny they are battling with, they are the ones that I want to give first. How about this? You know that I don't say, hey, give this, no, whatever you have, but I'm saying give first. Because last week, the Lord showed me the order of giving, and I saw that it is those who are needy first that are taken before those who do not have that need. So I tried changing the course of the offering. All the offering still goes where we say it to go, but this is what the Lord says. I obey the Lord. Those who have issues of destiny that they are battling with, they've heard me speak, they can diagnose it and say, hey, I'm dealing with this thing. You are the ones to give first. Before the General Assembly will then give. For this meal was set for you, and you should be the first partaker of it. From today, as you feast with the Lord in giving, I declare your destiny is no longer orphaned. The word of God is activated to watch over your destiny. The angel of the Lord is activated to watch over your destiny. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare it, you begin to see changes in your journey. All the disruptions, unnecessary troubles, unnecessary buffeting, constant humiliation, constant deprivation, constant stagnancy is over. This is the word of God. You are quickened by the word you have heard. Thank you, Father, for blessing your church. Thank you because we are here and we are gloriously blessed by you. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please unmute and shout, Glory!
Glory!
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.